You're listening to Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford, and it's time to return to the world of books. The Piedmont Triad has a long history of excellent poets, authors, and small publishers. Bethany Chafin sat down recently to explore one such outfit that calls Greensboro home, a new collection of prose poetry, and the author behind the work.
Terry Kennedy's new collection of poetry, New River Breakdown, is a work of art on many levels. The collection, published by Greensboro-based Unicorn Press, contains 44 beautiful poems, is hand-stitched, yes, each and every one, and every book will have one of five original works of art as the cover. Terry and his publisher, Andrew Salters, collaborated with four local artists for the covers: Tristan Miller, Woody Anderson, Matthew Brinkley, Chuck Johnson, and Andrew himself. Each created a piece of art inspired by Terry's work. New River Breakdown will be released this Sunday, October 20th. Terry, who is also the associate director of the graduate program in creative writing at UNC Greensboro, stopped by WFDD to read from and discuss the collection. He was joined by Andrew Salters of Unicorn Press, as well as two of the artists who contributed their work to the project, Tristan Miller and Woody Anderson. Terry, tell me a little bit about New River Breakdown. How long have you been writing these poems? Was it a project that had a clear beginning and end, or is this a collection of poems you've been writing over the course of maybe years?
I've been working on the poems about 8 years, and it's really been in the last 3 years or so that it became a cohesive collection, a singular idea, the collection of prose poems that I kind of went back and worked on for a couple years before Andrew looked at it and decided that he would like to publish it for Unicorn Press.
You use the term prose poems. Could you tell us a little bit about what a prose poem is, what it looks like or even sounds like?
For me, I think that if you were to listen to the poems out loud, they might sound just the same as if you were looking in a traditionally lineated poem, but the prose poem on the page looks more like prose. So you have that sort of margin-to-margin lineation as opposed to other forms where it might be the lines might be broken, jagged in different places. And I felt like the prose poem was appropriate for this manuscript, for this book, for different reasons. But mostly I wanted it to reach people who wouldn't necessarily read poetry, people who are scared of it.
And Andrew, could you tell me a little bit more about Unicorn Press? Is it a standard practice to have all of your books be hand-bound?
It was established by Alan Brilliant in 1966. Al has produced largely hand-bound books. Toward the end of the 80s, some of those books were machine-bound, but many of them have been printed on letterpress. Almost all of them have included hand-binding as the end assembling process.
Terry, what do you think it means to this collection to have it be published by Unicorn in this way?
Unicorn Press has such a long history and has put books out by so many wonderful poets, so many nationally recognized poets. That also was really flattering to me. The other opportunity that I thought was really great was having the opportunity to work with the local artists who did the cover art for the book. Everybody brought something a little bit different to it. And when I look at the cover, I can say, wow, well, this really speaks to this aspect of the book.
But Andrew, could you tell us about how the idea for having multiple covers came about?
Well, actually, that's probably a product of the small press process, because when I get together with Terry, as we were doing last fall, it was Terry who was like, what if we did this? You know, what if we tried that? And I was like, yes, please. That would be great. And since then, Terry's been all like, well, you know, a lot of publishers maybe would have said, let's not do five covers. And I'm like, I don't know why any publisher would turn that down. But I guess maybe he's right.
And Woody, I'm going to ask you to describe what you came up with for your cover, and then Tristan, I want to hear about your cover as well. So Woody, if you could tell us about that.
So my cover actually is for the hardbound edition. And when I read Terry's work, I was really struck with the imagery there. It was just really rich imagery. And what the concept that came to mind was an idea of a riverbed with layers of debris and organic matter, like leaves in the tracks of creatures and people that had visited there, just sort of that whole passage of time aspect. So I wanted to create a piece that was sort of a patina of life of that. So the concept was to take the fabric for the book covers and print layer after layer of imagery and drawing on there. So each cover for the hardback edition is an original piece, and the background of the cloth is printed with all these layers and organic images, and then it's overprinted with the book title. I'm working with the piece as it's changing and as I'm adding layers and they're interacting with each other and washing or dyeing and fading away. It sort of becomes this very organic process that is very natural, and I don't have as much control over it as I might have in a more traditional printmaking situation. And I think it worked well with this, what I found in Terry's book when I read it. Mm-hmm. I thought it turned out to be a great match.
Can you talk a little bit about what it's like to work with fibers?
Yeah, I think traditionally it sort of gets boxed away as maybe women's work or maybe it gets a little less respect. But actually, it's just another form of a canvas if you think about it that way. But I really enjoy working with fabrics in my work, and often I'll work with reclaimed fabric. So I'll print on bed sheets. And so that's in the life of the object before I'm turning it into my art is a whole other side of the process. But for this project, we used linen, which that fiber is very resilient and resistant to change, which is sort of poetic in its own way and actually really added to the process because it meant I had less control, but it also gave the finished pieces a very tactile quality. So if someone spends time with that book and interacts with it as an object, I think that they're really going to get something out of it. I mean, we're making a choice now when we want to spend time with a real book, and I think that the covers are sort of adding to that process too in some way.
Definitely.
That makes sense.
Yeah, no, completely. Tristan, how did you approach your cover?
I knew that whatever I was going to do for the cover had to stay analog. I didn't want any digital process coming into it. So just like Woody, my covers were screen printed. But my project for my cover was a collaboration. I had a screen printer that is a friend of mine who I knew that I wanted him to print the book covers, and then I would come up with the original image for it. And how I was going to pass that on to him was making sure that there was no digital process, i.e. like photocopying and making the transparency for burning the screen. For screen printing, you have to burn a positive image into the screen with the photo emulsion. I'm very interested in that while making the drawing, I'm fully present. Every mark that's made has an intention. But I don't necessarily have a map. I don't necessarily have an exact plan. It grows organically. So I am not in control completely. As far as the imagery, though, as I kept working with the book, reading with the book every night before I went to bed, one of the things I kept feeling, this emotional sense of like trying to keep your head above water, just trying to get through the situation, and rivers flood. And I think when there's moments in each poem that I feel that the speaker is just being overwhelmed, but quietly trying to tread water to stay afloat. So my cover really kind of looks like the rising of a tide, even though it's very simple and there's these repetitive swirling marks over and over. It does have a shift in energy and movement just like water, but it's also supposed to look like it's rising. So that it doesn't necessarily look like the riverbed, but it may feel as if you are being consumed by the river.
Morning, Minnesota. It is morning and the pelicans are filling the sky. They glide silently past, stare at the choppy river below. The right cuff of my pants is soaked as we walk up the beach together. I say, together, but she is far ahead of me, slender and fleet, a spring doe skimming the sand. The game we play is an ancient one. You know the name. You made the rules. A crab at the edge of the pier clacks his blue claws and scowls. And the gulls diving from the sky are maniacal. Compelled by greed, they fall, gleaming white missiles. She is so far ahead of me now that I plan for tomorrow. The pelicans, ugly with patience and wisdom, glide gently past. The hungover fishermen finish their coffee, pull on their rubber boots. Around the bend, the ferry churns the dark water white, gives three long bellows of its horn.
Something that I find fascinating about all of the poems in this are the way you play with distance, and that whether that be emotional distance or physical distance or distance across time or seasons and things like that. And I think you set that up really perfectly here because, yeah, you say, we walk up the beach together. I say together, but she is far ahead of me. And that seems to be a theme carried throughout. There's this closeness and intimacy about the relationships that you describe, but then there's always this indication that there's a lot in between. So could you talk about that maybe a little bit?
You really did hit on sort of one thing in the book, this idea of relationships and how close we can be to somebody else. How really close can we be? You know, you could think about your grandparents being married for 60 years and that they know everything there is to know about each other. But we can't really know everything about each other. There's always that little bit of separation between us as human beings, and it's part of the human experience. It don't matter what
I do if I... Poet and Associate Director of the Graduate Program in Creative Writing at UNC Greensboro, Terry Kennedy. He was joined by Assistant Editor and Book Designer at Unicorn Press, Andrew Salters, Greensboro-based artist Tristan Miller, and Winston-Salem-based artist Woody Anderson. You can hear Terry read from New River Breakdown on Wednesday, November 6th at 7 p.m. in Phillips Hall at High Point University. You'll find more information on our guests, and you can also see each of the five original covers created for New River Breakdown on our website, wfdd.org. Click on Try Out Arts Weekend once you're there.
Associate Producer Bethany Chafin. Bethany, along with technical producer Eddie Garcia and myself, produce the show each week, and you'll find links to archived episodes and podcasts at wfdd.org and click on Try Out Arts Weekend. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions for us, you can send those to triadarts@wfu.edu. Next week, it's violinist Kevin Lawrence live in Studio A with a mind-blowing solo violin sonata by J.S. Bach. And then I'm off to Sika for a gallery tour with Mark Leach and everything you ever wanted to know about graphic design. Eddie Garcia and Bethany Chafin cover geek girl culture at next week's comic book convention in Greensboro. We'll have rhythm and brass and a whole lot more next Friday, so see you then. In the meantime, I'm David Ford. Thanks for listening to Triad Arts Weekend.